Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today for our consideration is Ruth chapter 1. Dear friends, it's a great word, isn't it? Friends, people that you know, but more than just an acquaintance, someone that cares about you and you care about them and you can depend on them. I'm sure we've all had at some time in our life best friends, kind of people that, you know, you don't have to call every day, but when you do call them, you know, you pick it up right where you left it off. There's not a warm-up period. Friendship is really a blessing. Someone who gives and doesn't expect you to give to them. And someone who sometimes you can give to when you see them in need and you know it's just right to do that. The Old Testament reading today is about friends, unlikely friends, because, first of all, they were family. And contrary to some relationships, it's a mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship, which I know can go very good, but we all have seen examples where sometimes that doesn't go so well. There's sometimes family strain in those lines. But it's Naomi and Ruth. Now, it's interesting because Naomi is Jewish. She married a foreigner and went to live in his land, the land of Moab. And Ruth was from Israel, or rather from Moab. She was a foreigner, while Naomi was from Israel. So there was a famine. And at about that time, Naomi's husband died, her son, Ruth's husband, died, and the woman Orpah, who was married to Naomi's other son, or other was married to her other son, died. And so there's Naomi. She's a lady. All her family's dead. There's just three women, and she's destitute. There's nothing really she can do in her advanced years. She's not going to marry again. And she looks at herself and she hears that back home in Israel, where she grew up, there's food there. And she has relatives there. So what can she do? She's going to go back. But she tells her daughters, Ruth and Orpah, she says, stay here because you could marry other men. There's hope here. But if you go back to my country, you're really not a blood relation. And I don't know what you can do. I can't care for you. Now, of course, the girls want to go along with her. But she tries to talk them out. And she says, don't come with me. I have no more sons to give you. And even if I did, would you wait for them to grow up so that you could marry them? Stay here. There's nothing I can do. And perhaps the Lord will help you right here. Now, this is dramatic because Orpah realizes that she should go home. But Ruth just clings to her mother-in-law. And she won't go home. She's going to stay with her. Dramatic because God's laws back in Israel kept the Jewish people separate. Once in a while they'd welcome strangers, but for the most part, Jewish people were separate. So Ruth, going back there, would always be a foreigner. And besides that, the Jews were not supposed to marry outside their religion. But Ruth is so thankful. She stays with her mother-in-law because she's more than a mother-in-law. She seems like she is a close friend and confidant of Ruth, a best friend. We all need friends, don't we? Somebody we can talk to. Now, we don't necessarily need to have 30 friends and, you know, be the most popular person in society, but to have one or two people that we can depend on, to go to, God built that into us. We need to have other people that we trust in. Someone to share our joys with, someone to share our sadness with. And yet, all Ruth had was Naomi. Jesus himself said to his disciples, I have called you friends. And they could trust him like a friend, though they didn't deserve it. because they deserted him at the crucifixion, just hours after he had called them together at his table and told them that they were his friends. Have you been a friend to Jesus? Have you followed him, been devoted to him? Have you always had time for him when he called you, or were you too busy? When good things happened, was he the first person that you wanted to tell about that experience, whatever it was? And when you were overcome with sadness, did you tell him about it and seek his comfort? Would you do anything for him? Or do you usually look to your own needs first and then to the needs of Jesus, your Lord and your friend? Jesus found another friend one time, an unlikely friend. He was a leper. He had that dreaded disease of ancient times that disfigured and made people look horrible. And now Jesus healed not only one man, but 10 of them at a time. He said, go show yourself to the priests there at the temple, which was the law's command, and then offer your purification ritual according to the Old Testament laws, and you'll be clean. And as they're going there, of course, along the way, they find out that they're clean just in transit before they even get there. They've been cleansed, they've been healed, been restored. Their lives have been given back. And of course, it's this one friend, this one man who comes back to thank Jesus at that moment when he saw he was clean. You know, that's friendship, when you can't help but thank your friend for whatever kindness they showed you or whatever help they gave to you. I hope that you all have a friend like that in life, somebody that you can call upon, and they'll help you in your time of need, but you can share everything with. But you all can have that and much more if you know the depth of what Jesus has gone to for you, for your personal greatest need. The agony, the pain, and the scorn of what he went through for all of us, but for us personally. And not because he deserved it. He did that for you because you meant so much to him. Wasn't anything going to stop him from being your Savior, to buy you back from sin. He paid your debt because he values you that much. Like Ruth going with Naomi, even though she didn't have to, it looked at that point like she was going to be sacrificing the rest of her life. She'd die an old maid. Well, married once, but a widowed. Even though she was young, and she could have had a bright future perhaps. But she went with Naomi to Israel, even though the future looked black. How would a foreigner get a husband there in Israel? Yet God even turned that around, didn't he, for good. When he introduced her to Boaz, and they became a family, and she even became a part of Jesus' family tree, his ancestry, through this one trip that she took. Ruth and Naomi, such unlikely friends, like the Son of God and us. Yeah, it's true. Even if you feel alone, and you've asked God again and again to send you someone, some special friend that you could put your trust in, and you're still waiting for that, you can know that there really is someone who knows your needs, who hears you, who listens to you. You can pour your heart out to them. They're always there for you as you get on your knees in prayer. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus. He hears every word and every trouble that you bring to him. He hears every joy and every word of thanksgiving, and he takes it to heart. And I believe that God really laughs with us at those moments when we find something that's just so hilarious, and cries with us when we find something that's just too much to bear. Like a best friend would, the Lord loves and cares for his people. Ruth really unknowingly speaks the words of Jesus to us if we listen. Listen to this, what she says to her mother-in-law, her friend, Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. Where you stay, that's where I'll be staying. Your people are my people. To which Jesus can say, I am your God, and you are my people. This is an exciting Sunday for our congregation, as many of you become officially members of our church today, as you profess the faith that we believe in this congregation here in public, and we receive you as members. Our congregation can really be a place of meaningful friendship, but over the years it's occurred to me that it takes a little something more to get that kind of friendship with one another than just coming to services here. Because in the Lutheran Church, our worship's really directed at God here. We're not doing a lot of communication back and forth in the pew other than, you know, hello, good morning. That happens other places in our church. After the service, we visit down in the fellowship hall. As you get involved in classes here at the church to learn more about God's Word, as you get involved in service opportunities that we have here, as you help us with the tasks that the Lord has put before us, educating the children, whatever your abilities may be, caring for God's house, serving our community, you've got to get to do a little bit more outside of the service to get to know people that can become your earthly friends. But all of us, whatever age we are, have that oneness together in our confession of what our great heavenly friend has done for us in giving his life. I'm talking about Jesus. And I pray that all of you, like the early church, all of us together, as they, in those early days of Christianity, met together regularly. It was the one thing that they would always do was be there together. In fact, they even did it daily in the early days, meeting in the temple courts. And they shared all the things that they had in common. If one person had a hardship, it was everybody's hardship, and they all helped. And that goes on in our congregation too. But we invite you to join in that, caring for one another. And when one person is rejoicing about something, the whole congregation can rejoice. Yes, we are unlikely friends with Jesus, but he has honored us with his presence. And that makes all the difference. The Lord be with you and bless you, St. John, the people of God. Amen. And may that peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.